Hey, Bill and Gutter, welcome to Blackwater Tribal Edition right across the country today, thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service and our friends at Bumma Bipra Media 98.7 FM. If you're listening inside of Australia, it's probably via the National Indigenous Radio Service, and wherever you are listening, we hope you're doing well, and thank you to all the owners of the airwaves to let us travel with this program onto your country. And we've got the all-stars here today. We've got Yanyara, Yirrlim and Bumi. It's been a very, very busy few weeks. We had international visitors and whatnot, and I guess it's all about the international scene. Recently, I know that Senator Lydia Thorpe, who is trying to pass a some sort of agreement inside the Parliament, through the Senate, that is, to domesticate or have the United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples accepted into law. Something similar happened in Canada a few years ago now, and I think it's similar to that. But Ganyara, is UNDRIP for Australians, or is it for Yidinji and for others who aren't using the Australian persona?
They're talking about us, the Indigenous peoples, that is. They're talking about us. They know we're there, but it's for the Australians, believe it or not. They are the ones that the UN member states wrote this going back 2007. It sort of got brought into general acceptance in relation to some of the other, like the ILO, the Indigenous Labour Organisation. They were brought into this now to recognise the rights of Indigenous peoples. So it's the UN member states. It's for them, but they're talking about us, saying what we can, what the minimum rights are that we can assert or put forward. So Lydia is trying to bring it into domestic law, into domestic Australian law, even though Australia supported it back in 2009. They were one of the four that rejected it outright, said, no, we will not ever accept this. 2 years later, they did accept it, you know, and they support it now by signing off on the thing. I think it was Jenny Macklin in April 2009, if I remember right, 3rd or 4th of April, support it. Yep, we, before Parliament, we support this. But they're talking about a certain group of people. They're not talking about the Indigenous Australians. They're not talking about the Aboriginal Australians. They're talking about the Aboriginals of Australia. They're talking about the Indigenous people of Australia, those people who are on this land here before the white fellas come. So UNDRIP, the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People, is an important document. What it does for the Indigenous people is summarise the other conventions, you know, that are out there that Australia actually do support and have part of their law, as domestic law already. You know, the covenants of human rights, basically, civil and political rights. Everyone's got a right to self-determination. What did they say in Articles 3 and 4, mainly, of UNDRIP? They summarised those first few of the ICCPR to say, yep, the Aboriginal people have a right to self-determination. They've got a right to self-government. And they can participate. This is Article 5 that I keep coming back to. They can participate in the life of the state if they so choose, which raises the question, what if they don't so choose? Article 8 of UNDRIP, this is what Lydia's trying to get into the domestic law. Article 8 says that we can't be forced to assimilate. So that means the Aboriginal people are not necessarily Australians all the time, 100% of the time. They've got another place to go to, and they recognise this. They know that. So Lydia is got an uphill battle. Remember, Indigenous Australians make up only 3% of the population of what they want to call the Commonwealth of Australia. 3% against 97%, it's an uphill battle.
That 3% own the country.
Under their true and correct status, if we go to the Uluru Statement now from the Heart, which was brought out in 2017, it says the first-in-time sovereign nations. That means the Aboriginal people were first-in-time sovereign nations, and they own it pursuant to Aboriginal law, not Australian law. Those owners you're talking about, yeah, that's them. They have a right to self-government, right to self-determination. They've got a right to not be forced to assimilate with the state. They've got a right to make their own identity. They've got a right to the whole box and dice. We've got a right to travel across international borders. And this is where Australia is having trouble. They think that Australian law is the only law here, and it's not. I can say to you now that it's not the only law here. There were these first-in-time people who had law here, and guess what? Yidinji is actually asserting that sovereignty and that law.
Well, you know, it's exactly right. Like, the reason that something like UNDRIP has come into place, it's a declaration for the rights of Indigenous people, but it's also a declaration saying that rights of people have been violated by colonizing countries. So you wouldn't be introducing this unless there's already been a violation. Now, the violation is that people have moved onto the lands that wasn't theirs, taken it over, did all sorts of things, kicked other people off it. And here's now they're trying to... I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit screwed up here. It's now trying to reintroduce the law, the rights that were already there in the first place. And, you know, and it's good. It's good that that happens. You know, you want to see that. But it highlights the Yidinji way. Because if you introduce this into, you said, domestic law, Australian law... These rights that are laid out in the UN declaration, well, then there has to be someone to deal with. Australia can't deal with itself, as we well know.
Absolutely right. And there's actually Dr. Dylan Leno, I think he's of UQ, University of Queensland. He actually made a statement going back a couple of years. No matter what international or Australian law says, our sovereignty exists. No one can take that away from us. It's our sovereignty, it's our law, it's our world. And as the Uluru Statement said, it's been here from time immemorial, and it's still here, and it's unseated and unextinguished. It's still here, and we're just asserting it. I see UNDRIP is the way that the Australian people can learn about this other thing that's here, the one that doesn't have a treaty with, the one they don't have, they couldn't extinguish sovereignty. There's a lot of propaganda on it, but we're here. We're asserting it, and they can't stop it.
Moving down the track, if it was brought into Australian law, then there has to be someone for it to apply to, some legal body. So you can have a person, original owner of the country, walking around with an Australian driver's license,
mm-hmm.
and so he can't claim, he can't be acted upon, he can't do anything, or she can't do anything with those laws that have been brought in until they actually create their own identity from their own nation.
I wonder if that's what sovereignty is all about, the ability to create a legal identity so that humans can participate in the life of that nation, just like we can participate in the life of Australia through the Australian identity, the birth certificate or the citizenship document. Just like that, we can create our own that has always been here. How do we know who Yidinji is? I can see one old fella right here now. I know he's 100%, full blood, 100% Yidinji. No ifs, no buts, no argument. He's Yidinji. Now, he can be seen through Yidinji ID and he can participate in the life of Australia through an Australian identity. Now, that old bloke sitting right here can be in both worlds but not at the same time. You know, he's either Yidinji now or Australian now.
How powerful is that you can create your own identification? How much does it do? What the implications are by having a different identity to Australia?
Absolutely, and this is the problem for Australia, because up until now, up until the last 10 or 15 years, they had the almighty authority to bash the Aboriginal people, to suppress them, to hold them down, to steal their wages, to take everything off them, to say, no, you can't go anywhere else, you can't speak your language, you can't do this. All right, in Australia, you keep that idea. In Australia, we won't. We'll speak English. Even though in Yidinji we speak English too, because that's the common language that everyone can understand around the world. But it's where the legal identity is created, and this is the very problem for Australia. Who said we have to be seen as Australians all the time? Because that goes against the international covenants, goes against the US, the UN declarations. It goes against everything that Australia believes it supports, you know, the rule of law, the ICCPR. We got a right to all our resources. Hang on. Someone's using our resources. What does UNDRIP say at Article 28? Give it back to them or pay them for everything you've taken off them.
So if your original nation has created its own legal structure that creates its own identities, you can choose.
And this is the very problem of it for Australia. Under Iudi Possidetis, if you understand that doctrine, we are the international body that could be negotiating on the borders with passports, for example. Our nation, Yidinji Nation, has the authority under the old ancient doctrines that still apply to this day to be the international actor for this part of the world, not Australia. Now, Australia has to realise, and they know this, they know it's coming. If Australia wants to be here, they've got to start talking about treaties and deals and let's work together type stuff. Let's settle the past, secure the future. Who are we going to secure it with? You know, the comment was made with us a couple of years ago. We've got every right to do a deal with China. We've got every right to do a deal with the United States. You know, Donald, let's have a talk about, instead of Greenland, you want to talk about some good country. We got whatever you want. You know, we've got a mountain of gold sitting there. We've got a mountain of fish out the front. We've got a mountain of trees sitting up here. We got water. We got farmland. We got it. And we're only one small nation in amongst all the Aboriginal nations. What about the iron ore? What about Bauxite, for example, up in North Queensland, far North Queensland, up there where you call Weipa, if you want to call it that, they got a mountain of bauxite. Now, that's a pretty good commodity to have for aluminium, you know. Now, Donald, Mr. Trump, Elon, you want to talk about some real deals? We can give you permission to come over and talk to us and negotiate with these other Aboriginal nations to talk about some serious money, because Australia does not have the right under Uti Possidetis. It's our right, it's our country, it's our law that should be first in time. And the best Australia can be is a belligerent occupant, because without securing sovereignty or getting sovereignty from the Aboriginal people, they are an occupational nation and they're belligerent into the bargain. They got no right, we owe no allegiance to them. You know, this is how serious it is. And if Donald come over here, you know, Donald Trump come here and wanted to talk Turkey, we really would. And we'd talk about it in this in no uncertain terms. Donald, you want to put a Navy base in? Come and see us. You know, we've got some good deep water harbours to put a Navy base in. Donald, this is what it's all about. We can do this. Australia has not got the right yet to do that. We have.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of what's happening at the moment is that, you know, Donald's going around and naming places and the Gulf of America. And I mean, in a strange way, the Yidinji Nation could be, I wouldn't say another state of the US, but certainly some sort of administrative territory, potentially, going direct rather than through Australia. But that's all a philosophical discussion. But the whole point about it is that that's what sovereignty is. You get to choose. And, Bumi, I might bring you back into this here about how we have the right to do all these things.
See, Australia is an Aboriginal home. I don't know where Donald Trump home is. All these fellas talk on the radio. You see him in Canberra in a big meeting. They got no feeling for, I don't know who where they come from. They just talk about Australia. Why don't they talk about their own country? You know, we don't go talk about Jerusalem or them big places like that. We're talking about our home place because we've got our rights here. You know, we... Okay, now we could ask you for a bit of help to how we, you know, what should, you know, but see, we already worked it out. You know, we've been taught. But I see on the radio, on TV, I see you're all growling and you still never work it out. I'm 71 now and you still never worked it out, you know. Aboriginal people did work it out. The Torres Strait and, you know, I mean.
Colin, you mentioned Jerusalem there. Yeah. And in a very good way, the Yidinji Nation is just, like with Israel and that, they only got them things here in 1967. Same thing. Those coat of arms, flag, everything else. They've been a tribe for a long time.
That's right, yeah.
And the Yidinji's just doing the same thing.
Yidinji's doing the same thing. Thank you for it up there, Murray. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, jolly. I'll pass it back to the Yidinji. Yeah, it's a bit of a...
Yeah, Ganyara, I might bring you back in there, but it's the truth, really. I mean, the whole point of sovereignty is it doesn't matter if you're a Jonacombe Lately Cairns entity or whatever it is. The sovereignty has never been ceded, so it's residing there. It's untouched, and you know, the nations here on this continent can assert it correctly and in a true capacity, in a way that can unify the world, as opposed to the same old story of this adversarial legal sphere that many people are, you know, experiencing head on.
Yeah, look, you know, I could ask Uncle here, your great-great-great-grandfather, let's go back a few generations before the white fellas even found the place or discovered it. They knew it was here. Discovery is another doctrine, but that's beside the point. That's for another day. They knew the Aboriginal people were here. His great-great-great-great-grandfather was the law upon the country. Yes, no, he was. No ifs, no buts. People have respected it. People obeyed it. It was a community. The Federal Court of Australia recognised that society had a system of authority and decision-making. That sounds just like a government to me. I wonder if Yidinji government sounds a bit like that, you know, a system of authority and decision-making. They had dispute resolution. The Federal Court said so. The Federal Court acknowledged they had courts. You know, this is how they resolved their dispute, both at the local level and at the greater level. And they had a system of land tenure. They knew who spoke for what part of the world. They knew that down here, this was the Gimoi lot. Tableland didn't come down here and start talking about land down here, because them old fellas back then would have sorted the problem out really quick with a stick, wouldn't they, you know? And you talk about the coat of arms on the wall. Maybe that's what the shields were all about. Maybe when the Tableland mob come down here, they could read that shield that the old fella had, and they said, oh, he's the lawman here. And then the old fella went up there or went to Wanyamaje, for example, they had different shield pattern again. Okay, he's the lawman, he's the boss man, we speak to him. And, you know, to show that other Aboriginal nations recognised that, when they got to the borders, like over at the, you could say, around Ravenshoe or somewhere there, when the Aboriginal nations were coming for a, you know, walkabout, come over here to have a yarn, they'd wait there. They wouldn't come into the rainforest. They'd send a boy in or a runner with a cockatoo feather and say, look, we need to have a yarn. Can you give us permission to enter the border? You know, that's a rather strange concept that you see around the world now. You've got to get permission to enter the border, come across the border. Hang on a sec. Aboriginal people had this hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of years ago, and it's still recognised today. So these federal court judges, when they make these decisions in native title, don't give you anything other than evidence that your society existed and it still exists. And they are the true sovereign nations. They are the true power, because in law, who's on whose territory? In law, first in time is best in time. Is best in law, sorry. So we were first. Yidinji were first. They were always were, and they're always still here. That's what they talk about in the Uluru Statement. But this first-in-time law is, you know, Uncle's great-great-great-great-grandfather's law. That's still here today. It's recognisable and it's visible. And Australia can see it. They know it. So that means there's a system of sovereignty that's recognisable by the Australian sovereignty. They know it's there. So who's first-in-time? Who owns the place? It's asserting your sovereignty. When you are there, and this is what I come back to, Yudi Posidetis. You know, if you own the place, which you do, when there's a conflict over title over the place, it goes back to the first original possessor. So that's who was first by give or take 60, 70, 80,000 years, give or take a few days. Oh, gee, I wonder who that was. The Yidinji mob. Where did Australia fit into this? You know, 124 years ago, they existed. Let's go back to the UK when the British come, because there's a lot of conflict over what happened back then. But the High Court made it very clear that Australia was settled by the British, and an act of settlement had to have no one there. There was supposed to be terra nullius, no one here. But now they overturned that decision in 1993, that belief that there was no one here, because now they can recognise the systems of law and authority that were here. So Australia was settled on what? What is the common law theory? What's the common law doctrine of how Australia was settled? What's the legal international law that is how Australia was settled? There is none. And with that, that's why, you know, we're saying this so adamantly now, and Australia know this, by the way, and they're saying it. How do you educate, you know, 25 million people that you don't own the house you live in? The Aboriginal people do. You get a lot of propaganda going out there, but they know who the true and correct people are, and they know that Uncle here, through his great-great-great-great-grandfather, is the boss for down here.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, I think, when you look at it. And but I think the international law space can try and confuse a lot of people, and through personalities and whatnot, jurisdictions. But when you strip it back down to the simplicity, is Yidinji's here, Kunganji's here, Kukyalanji's here. They never went anywhere, and more importantly, we never went and invaded somebody else's country and taken over some of the islands in the Pacific, for example. So that's a very important thing now for the Indigenous nations here, the pre-1770 continuing Indigenous societies that own the place. It's actually assert that in a true and correct manner, and that is through something that the international sphere can recognise, because they're talking about dispute resolution, they're talking about land tenure systems, they're talking about adoption laws. All Yidinji's done is putting that in codifying it on into government and pieces of paper, which the international world can see now. And that's why it's becoming more real for them, because it's written down and they can see it. So seeing is believing in their world. But anyway, you're listening to Black Wall Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break. Ooh, baby, I
love your way. Yo, this is Keno from the band Big Mountain. You are listening to BBN 98.7 FM.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Obviously, the sovereignty issue is not going to go away. And Lydia is doing her best, I guess, to bring that to the attention of the Australians. And, you know, it's not the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Australians. It's actually the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And as we constantly reinforce here and emphasise, Yidinji are not Indigenous Australians. The Yidinji people and the Yidinji nation and the society is before Britain, before Australia, before Europe even became into form. But, Ganyara, you wanted to say something to that.
Yeah, look, I agree with Pauline Hanson. Indigenous Australians, they're all the same. She's an Indigenous Australian. Actually, I had a yarn with a couple of the party mob from the Qatar Party the other weekend. And I told them, there is only one Australia flag. There's one flag. That's the blue ensign. There's no need for an Aboriginal flag. That's a distraction. That's a smokescreen. That's a mousetrap. You know, the Islander flag. You got one flag. The other two, all they are is a distraction to keep Aboriginal people thinking that there's something special inside the Commonwealth of Australia. They're nothing special in there because all Australians are created equal. Pauline Hanson is an Indigenous Australian. Dutton is an Indigenous Australian. John Howard's an Indigenous Australian. Anthony Albanese, Indigenous Australian.
Because they all carry Australian licences, birth certificates, etc.
The identity is created pursuant to Australian law and legislation. You think about this. It's not the human we're talking about. We're talking about paper, the legal identity, how you participate in Australia through the legal identity.
Yeah, I mean, Koike is very different than Mr. Edward Mabo, for example, because Mr. Mabo, as we know it, was created on a piece of paper. And that's how they see people inside the court. You can only go to that court if you've got a ticket into the game. Same with Monopoly. You need to use one of those, like a car or the little puppy dog
little
or the
token.
Hat, you know, to go onto that board and play the game. You get the money, you get the land title. You can go to jail too. And there's a lot of Indigenous mob there, I can tell you. But that's the whole thing. You know, I think once you strip it back to the simplicity of it, if you have a Yidinji name, you subjected yourself to Yidinji law. So the very minute we accepted the office here as this capacity, our allegiance was to the Yidinji nation straight away and to the laws that govern it. And, you know, Bumi, I'm going to say this again, thank you for everything you do, and to the other elders and all the ones that were involved in this well before we got involved. You know, it's a testament to them and their leadership and their vision. So it is that simple. If you agree to that name, then you must acknowledge that there's some sort of authority behind that name. So when, you know, people say, you're Jeremy, I say, well, yeah, you can call me that, but I'm not subjecting myself to the Australian person because I gave that all back. But through Murumu, that piece of paper, I can help build this world we're talking about today.
Yeah, look, you've got to remember one thing. We're not the paper. We aren't the legal identity. We are seen legally through the paper. How do they know who's who in the zoo? You've got to have a piece of paper with a name written on it. And you can go into court, by the way, and not speak a word and be legally recognised as long as you hold up your card saying, I am this Australian, you know, the name written on there. I am that one. Yep. You don't say a word, but they can see who you are because they're looking at paper. We're not looking at humans. We've got to remember that. You know, we're all humans that come and go. You know, just because the colour of your skin is irrelevant in their world, it's the colour of the paper.
Before I became a Yidinji citizen, I didn't have a choice. I was only an Australian citizen. That's it. You know, that's the majority of people in the country at the moment don't have a choice. But this is how special Yidinji is. I was given a choice.
And it's the choice. The choice is the understanding to learn it. No one forced you to take the second identity. You can't be forced to do anything. You can't be forced to take any identity Australian. And I remember seeing that in the court going back, 10 years now, coming up on 10 years. If you're not one of ours, there's the door. You're free to go at large. Get out of me court, basically. They knew what they had in there was not one of theirs. To say that, the magistrate said that, if you're not one of ours, you're free to go at large. There's the front door.
And a very, very learned man, that particular individual, because obviously that was me being involved with that situation. But that's when you understand the law and when they understand it, you know, they're actually there to help protect Yidinji in a strange way. once you revitalise your law and all those things. You know, I wouldn't want that job because there's a lot of stress that could be coming with being a magistrate or a Supreme Court judge and all those things, because they're very important roles and functions of a society, and to keep the peace and whatnot. But, I mean, when you look at Yini, for example, the same thing happened to him in 1927. He went in there because he killed one other fella under tribal law, and the same thing happened. Well, this fella's got his own law, he got to go. We can't have him in here. So that's the power behind the sovereignty. Not that I'm going to say go kill someone, because that's not right either, unless, you know, the society has deemed it right under tribal punishment. And they used to do that back in Bible times too, when someone did something wrong, they used to stone them to death or do this, then that, the other. So that fellow must have had it coming to him, you know. But, Bumi, that's why I'm going to bring it in. Like, your father and your grandfather never muck around like with them things either, so, you know.
Like this, if we were still in land council, they'll tell you to stop. So when we came to sovereignty, to writing, it's a powerful thing that... So two detectives came in my flat and they said, who put them police on the road? I said, I did. So they started scratching their leg and I told them I got an office in town. They didn't come here. See, that's power, that when you... See, some of us never come from the old people, too. I'm not running anybody down. It's just that you got to come in so we can have a talk. You know, that's what I'm going to give you, because... See, sovereignty is a powerful thing. See, like, they took the name Peter Emmanuel I. That's nothing, that. When I say I'm born, that's power of this land, you know. And that's what Dad told us. He said, if anybody wants you, just go stand up there. You know, that's it. If you can't give a good word, you just got to stand up and they'll come to you and they'll talk to you. See, there's a few people coming around too and want to have a talk to me, so I've got to be very careful too. I hope they're coming in a good way that, you know what, we're not going to give them lolly or anything like that or whatever. They just got to accept the truth because they want to stop us. Stop you like land cancer. Stop, stop. You lost your battle, the train, you left the station, now all these talk come, you know. I told someone, if I leave, go away, we're here, you know. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so that's a really important point. The thing is that, you know, I'm not against land councils or the local government, for example. I think they do perform important administration functions. But I think when it comes now to the sovereignty matter, I think there has to be... That's where the Prime Minister and Cabinet and that Commonwealth level needs to remedy or accept the Yidinja remedy for this place. Ganyara, I think it's very important that, you know, we don't... I think it's not... there's no gain in having a dig at the low-lying fruit and whatnot, but I think Prime Minister and Cabinet, this is why they get paid the big money. And if they're the ones that are deceiving their own Australians and their own agencies and statutory bodies and all that kind of stuff, then what's really going on there? And this is what Yidinji's been showing that leadership about. Well, this is the problem. We know what the problem is. We're going to fix it for you, and we're going to fix it for free. It's not about kicking you off here and sending you back to wherever you come from. It's about accepting the past and making sure that that doesn't happen again, the stealing of children, the killings, all this kind of stuff. And we can work together to make a beautiful future. And I think that's what we're all about.
Look, when I met with the Katted Party mob the other day there, the first thing they asked me, are you going to take our houses? What can I say? We're not going to take your houses. We don't want to kick the mums and dads out. We don't want to hurt the humans that are here. The problem with Australia is that it doesn't have a deal to have the legal identities here for those people to be seen through, to participate here. They know they're on our country. So we're not going to throw them off. But when we had that comment made by that woman from the Federal Attorney General's Department, we got every right to do a deal with China. How can you tell the mums and dads, all of a sudden Chinese is now the official language in this area, if we've done that? You know, this is the seriousness of it. Australia is our preferred one to do a deal with. But you can't hold out the olive branch forever. You know, the arm will get tired and maybe someone will come along, like Trump from America, and offer a better deal. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but we've got every right to do it. And this is something we've got to get Australia to understand. You've got to come and do a deal so that you secure your place here, so that your Australians are right and we can all keep speaking English. But, you know, if the US come along and cut out Australia because Australia's dragging the chain, they might want to drag the chain or kick the can for another 30 years, which we were told by an ex-senator that Australia is going to try and delay this. We're probably 30 to 40 years ahead of the mark. They want to try and delay it as long as possible. Maybe they might get cut out of the deal, which is rather sad for the Australians. You might become US citizens, or you might become British, or you might become Chinese. We don't know who's offering the best deal, but we've got every right to do that, because if sovereignty is not ceded or extinguished, we still retain the right to cede sovereignty and have it extinguished in part or in whole, and we can exercise that right whenever we choose. Australia can't dictate to us, no, you can't do that. They don't have the right to do that. We have the right. So maybe it's the US, you know, maybe we become US citizens. We can be seen legally through the US citizen and still retain our right to be Yidinji, and we will. Well, Greenland's a good example. You know, he wants to go and buy Greenland. Come and do a deal and we'll talk Turkey. But this is about now the sovereignty that Australia doesn't have. It's claiming that it has, but it's of a lesser sovereignty than what the Yidinji one. We have the capital S sovereignty, they have the lowercase sovereignty. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think just even knowing what you want in a treaty is very important as well. I mean, obviously, we'd want the Yidinji police and the courts to look after Yidinji mob and anyone else that wanted to be part of that. And that's going to provide a huge relief to the Australian system, I would say. But, I mean, you know, bummer no bum away. And I think the Yidinji police, when you've gone out and you've talked to people from outside of this place, they respect who you are. They don't treat you like Queensland police or Australian police, for example.
Yeah, they know what I'm all about, you know, and the sovereignty that we're the heart of this town and the Yidinji people. And when we took that step out, then we start to get some knock on the door from the police that you got to stop this and all this thing goes on, you know. They know we got power. We don't have to wear stripe or anything. We just do our job. And coming on Grandad, like, you know, we had some elders here a long time and it's robbed off us, and I'm going to stand up for the people, you know. I take all the hit for our lot, and they say when you're front line, when you fight for land rights or you fight for sovereignty, you take the lot on, you know, and that's why people are going to have respect for us today, who's not from here, who's living here, and you must have been taught from your own people, you know, even what sort of colour you are. You've been around Australia and you know who to talk to and who will help you, and you know, you got to come down to this office here. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the thank you for that, and I think it's just highly demonstrated then. Bumi just said that, you know, we don't have to wear those uniforms to do the job, because that's where mob who aren't from here will see it, but they even recognise the Yidinji uniform, and in specific cases they've asked for Yidinji police because they want to see that as a more of a culturally sound space or safe space than, let's say, Queensland police. Not that I'm having a go at Queensland police, it's just that's the fact of life, is that the Yidinji police are probably better armed in dealing with these things in a cultural sense. But together, through that treaty process, it'll be very, very powerful. Because, you know, we don't want to look after those, you know, heavy criminal issues that, you know, the Australian Federal Police and the Queensland Police and with CERT, and they do a wonderful job in breaking down organised crime, drug syndicates. These things are really important because they harm our mob. So it's being sensible about it, which I really, when I first was approached to get on board with this, that was my major concern. What does that mean? What is it going to look like? You know, are we going to raise a standing army and carry AK-47s and all that kind of rubbish. No, because that's what it is. If you've got the truth, you don't need those things. You should be able to stand up and tell the truth and to put your position in a way that everyone will go, yeah, that's true, we'll go with that. And Ganyara, it's been like that. There's been no talk of AK-47s or nuclear bombs or big red buttons.
Well, we don't need them. When you're right, you're right. That's the truth of the matter. And Australia know we're right. Australia is actually in a strange situation. They're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. They've got to do something, but they're jammed up if they can. You know, to go forward and acknowledge us and do a deal with us means they don't have a deal with all the other mobs. Now, you think about that. Well, if they do a deal with someone else and they don't do a deal with us, you know, they haven't got whole sovereignty over the whole country, not a complete sovereignty, because they've got to bring all this together. And, you know, one of the issues is to get all the other mobs understanding this stuff so we can sort of jointly put forward the treaty offer, you know, as a group. But Australia don't, they can't handle that, because then the sovereignty of each individual group, then the nations, are slightly different to each other. So Australia's got a big task ahead of itself. Like they tried to do it with the Treaty of Waitangi down in New Zealand when the British first went there. And they forgot about the Southern Island. They didn't do it with them, and they didn't do it with all the mobs on the Northern Island, so it's only a partial treaty, yet they recognise it as real. So how would you bring all the Aboriginal people across the whole great continent together? You know, this is a big place. There's no two ifs and buts about it. You can fly for hours and still, you know, not cross the country. There's a big job, but it's got to be done. When does it get done? You know, the geopolitical world is changing quite rapidly at present. We've got to sort of look after the Aussie. You know, you're talking about the Queensland Police. Even though Queensland Police were, the not-so-good lot a few years back, I know they're trying to clean up their image. They're trying to put it across. They do a tremendous job, especially there's a lot of stuff I wouldn't want to do. But we have to realise that they aren't the ultimate authority on the land here. The Yidinji Police are, because of the continuing sovereignty that they haven't married into yet. What a treaty does is it's a power-sharing arrangement. Who's going to be doing what? In what piece of area, what portfolio, what area, piece of paper you're going to be seen through.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why we've said it countless times that there is a role and a function for the Queensland courts, the Queensland Police, the Australian courts and the Federal Police and everyone else. Why wouldn't you want that? Because that's one of the best systems in the world. And when you look at this continent and the rest of the world, it's relatively okay here. You know, there's a few issues here and that with white supremacist groups and other groups that are potentially terrorist groups. But Australia can keep tabs on that. What Yidinji want to do is make sure that our mob and mob from other nations, like tribal nations I'm talking about, sort of stay out of those legal spheres, if it needs to be that way, to provide relief on that system and a culturally sound service that is can be explained and talked about with community mob. So I think that's where we're coming down to it. But Yurila, I want to bring you back in here because I think sometimes you hit the nail on the head with these things about the civics education, and that really the poor old officer on the ground, it's not their responsibility or function to negotiate treaties. This has to come back to, let's say, the Prime Minister and the Administrator of the Commonwealth, for example.
Yeah, of course. You know, as we've repeatedly mentioned, that you know, for any of these treaties to take place, there has to be an entity outside of Australia. So, you know, the education, you know, for me, it certainly was a few years ago when I first became a citizen of this great nation, was the ID I carried. You know, what ID you're carrying determines whose law you're under. And there are so many original people of this country who are only carrying one ID that puts them under Australian law. And, yeah, that's a big lesson. It was a big lesson for me to learn. And if you go and create a separate, something separate that is under your own nation's own laws, what you want to have, how you set it up, then if you carry a second ID, well, then you are no longer, you've got a choice whether you want to be under Australian law or whether you want to be under your own law. And, yeah, that message, that knowing and finding that out is one of the most powerful things that can happen. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to witness people come in who have been under the Australian law and have suffered under that law because of the colour of their skin. And now that they've got a Yidinji citizenship, they are relieved that then they've got a choice, and that's so special to see happen.
Yeah, it is, and it doesn't mean that you use the Yidinji law to punch someone in Australia and you're going to get away with it. It's probably worse for you if you're going to do that. But we can't use Yidinji law to make a mess, Kalner. That's a very wrong thing to put on the Yidinji nation, you know.
See, like when you come to Yidinji sovereignty, you can't get... If you get booked, you're going to pay it. If you do things wrong, well, you've got to take that jail, you know. We can help when you tell us what really happened, when the police, like, book you for this and you telling them that, no, I'm higher than you, I'm a sovereignty. Yeah, but when we drunk and run off the road, and that's, we're going to wear that. So I told the Yidinji police, yes, when you come to sovereignty, go and I want to check all your lot background and whatever, you know. And that's the way we want to do it good, you know, and make it right for the rest of our mob, you know. And so, we know that life is not a bed of roses, but we're not trying. We're doing the right thing. And we're standing up now for our rights, you know. And we want all your lot in Australia to do the same thing. And I always ain't coming, but, it's a right thing to do when you're sovereignty. With the Maori people, they were under sovereignty and we would have followed their footsteps, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, I might see this one day. See whatever, we could have a yarn, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Nyara, I'll bring you back in there because that sovereign citizen movement and things like that, that's the reason why when people become a Yidinji citizen, they're going to have to provide a recent police background check and all those things because, I mean, vetting and stopping people from coming in to use the Yidinji nation to dodge things in the future or things of the past, is there's no place for that here.
Well, we'll go back to the ancient tribal law for a start. If people want to jump out of Australia and get out and ditch all the ID, which basically what that magistrate said to you at the time, you're free to go at large. Hang on, you want to go back under tribal law. Say you go out and hurt someone, you go and kill someone. What's the tribal punishment now at a tribal level for someone who murders? You know, that's capital punishment there. Or you do something like you go and stealing. Maybe that's corporal punishment where you get a whacking with a stick. You know, so it's a lot more serious when you get out into the real world away from Australia where the laws are pretty lenient. I say to everyone, if you want to do naughty things, stay in Australia. Don't come back to our government or don't go into the tribal level, for example, because it's deadly serious back there.
No, you get smashed.
Oh, more than smashed, you know. It's capital punishment, which is the death penalty does apply at a tribal level. But we got to check on all those Australians and what reason they want to support Yidinji, because there's people maybe where they want to think Yidinji is a tax dodge, the Cayman Islands, where, you know, you can avoid taxes from Australia. No. All Australian citizens are supposed to pay their tax as best they can. They're supposed to abide by all the laws of Australia as best they can. You know, like you were talking about speeding the car or drink driving. If you're driving a Queensland car on a Queensland licence, don't drink and drive. You know, this is as simple as it gets.
Or a Yidinji one.
Yidinji's worse because, you know, like when you were chucked out of the court, because there was no police officer could arrest you, our police force could. When you recognise the jurisdiction of Yidinji, all of a sudden you become subject to the Yidinji police. You know, this is the idea of having our police totally separate from Australia, is to pull up those who don't want to participate in the life of the state through an Australian identity. So we've got to be able to control them on our country. And they would have been, back in the old days, they would have faced capital and corporal punishment. But we've had to modernise that, and we've brought it into the modern world where there is no capital punishment. You know, a few countries out there do still support it, the US, the Saudis, you know, Indonesia, for example, all believe in capital punishment, but they've got to do away with it. It's getting done away with, but we have brought about our law for the reason of these citizens who want to jump out of Australia and don't be subject to any law, you know. You're just going to be like an ordinary crocodile swimming around in the harbour here, harassing and hurting people, and you will, you know, that's what they think. They can go and do as they want, but they will be subject to our police and our laws, who are going to protect everyone on our country. Now, sovereign citizen movement is a rather crazy thing. This is not where we're at. sovereign citizen movement don't believe in law and authority and government and police and all that. They think that they're only answerable to God. And yet they go forward and plunder and steal and do whatever they got to do, which is rather bad. You know, it's the naughty things in life that they shouldn't be doing. So we're here to say, not on our country, you're not. We're here, we're back in charge, we're first in time. If you want to jump out of Australia, you will become like the crocodile, and we'll have to sort the crocodile out, you know, that's misbehaving. If it's eating people, what happens in Australia when there's a crocodile in the harbour eating people? They go and catch it or kill it, you know. We don't want to kill it, but you've got to catch it and do something with it. And Australia need to step up its role in life on this sovereign citizen movement, that they don't, and they don't misconstrue us as one of them. It's been said very clearly, the Yidinji movement, the Yidinji government is not a sovereign citizen movement. It's the original government that was here first, and it's still here, and it's going to be here forever to do a deal with Australia, if it so chooses. So sovereign citizen stuff, don't think about this. You're not getting into a tax haven. You're not getting into a tax dodge. You're not going to be exempt from the law, because we tell all the people who come in on this, you're going to at least comply with the Australian law, you know, what's there. But you're also going to comply with our law. You know, you're not going to go out plundering and stealing and doing all the bad stuff. But just be very wary that when people say, oh, you can be free of Australia 100%, and no. Yidinji is here for a reason, and we're here to try and build an agreement with Australia. Build a bridge, by the way. Close the gap. Now, that was the other day where the close the gap thing is getting worse. Our gap is the no treaty. Under the treaty, we will close that gap permanently for no money, for not one Australian dollar. But, you know, this is how it all works, and we want to do this properly. So the sovereign citizen movement is cut out. We're not a tax haven. We're not a tax dodge. And the gaps are closed. Not $1.
You're listening to... go on, Colonel.
See, like this now, that we said, Murray, jump on this car here. So they grabbed him and put him in jail there. And, so Murray told them his name. They told him to leave. So I asked Maddie what was wrong. And Maddie told me a lot, you know. And so when we came to the last lap, a year all of a sudden, we was all there, and I put my hand up. And the judge saying, treat us, put your hand in, you knew what I was going to say. You know, that's powerful stuff, that. And it's not a game stuff, it was my right to put my hand up, you know. Well, the police came to my door, and I told them, I put them police on the road there, Yidinji police. But they won't come through our office. You know? Yeah.
Anyway, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition. We'll be back after the break with some final comments.
Yo, this is Bala J. You're listening to BBM 98.7.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Some final comments. Bumi, you want to say something before you head off there to Mob and everyone listening?
Yeah, well, I'm going to head off now to maybe have another meeting. Uncle Sabilan Gunnan, I hope you're listening out there. I'm going to say Culling Deck. Bit warm again, getting warm again, but come down to the office, please, on Lake Street. And have a talk to your mob.
Thank you. Yirralum.
Yeah, I suppose, just recapping on everything's been said today, you know, if you look in your wallet or your purse, you know, what's in there? What idea are you hanging on to, and what law are you abiding by? You know, it is a relief to do that, to look into your wallet or your purse and see two IDs, you know, to have a choice depending on the circumstances you're in. So your nation can create that second choice, and that's really the special part of Yidinji.
Kanyara.
Yeah, look, gee, I'm in a bit of a predicament here now because I don't have a wallet or a purse, you know, to look into. But look, in saying that, you've got to know who you are. It's like everything, you've got to know who you are, where you belong. And understand that it's not about the humans, not about skin colour, it's not about anything else. It's about legal identity. Law is a strange creation, you know. What is it? It's in the science of law. And that's a rather weird thing because it's just out there. I ask everyone, where's the Commonwealth of Australia? And they point to a map on the wall. I go, yeah, that's there, but not here. You know, there's not this land, there's this hard physical stuff we stand on. You know, where's you know, the Constitution hang? You know something? Australia's got nowhere to hang its constitution yet, even though we offered it land back in 2017. Where does it rest its constitution? Which I mentioned to these blokes, to the Katter Party. Where can Australia rest its piece of paper? And it dawned upon them that they don't have anywhere that they can call home. As Uncle said there before, where's the home of all the Australian people? We got our home. Where's theirs? Understand that.
Yeah, that's it for today's show. Thank you very much. Go Baragala Nyunda. May God's peace be upon you, wherever you are listening to this program. Thanks to our friends at Bumma Pippa Media and everywhere else that are taking this show. We'll catch you next week. And you take it easy. Okay, calling.
You speaking far north, you better say the ballers. Ain't no one above us, whether hate it or love it. We've been here for a second, wait a minute, we coming. I fly above all the bullshit, you hit the ground running. What you see in this is really what I see in my city. Yeah, everything is green, but ain't a damn thing pretty. You better lock your car because these kids ain't playing. Damn, Cans, Crime Page, that's the Ku Klux Klan. Nobody got the answers, but the people gotta eat. Nobody got solutions, so the children walk the streets. Nobody really cares, y'all opinionated sheep. You stay behind the screen while I stay behind the beat. Walk apart, most of y'all only talk off. More blackouts than a mark can't walk off. You take bar and we taking the door cost. No money on the table, then I'm sorry, that's
we
your
here
boss.
To kick flows.
You got more moves than Bobby Fischer. CTs are twister. Rap flows got me playing Twister with your sister. It's Mr. Truthzilla and Mr. Contract Killer. Come test. Heaven calling, I'ma lay you to rest. On the quest to be the best, and I won't settle for less. Paint pictures with the words of the verse. Been the flies and off my thumbs the day of my birth. We roar like broken jaws in them barroom doors. Oh, the elegance. Know you're full of issue, then I'm kinda sick of smelling it. Word told you dumb issue. Miss me with the dumb issue. Life tries to knock you down. Always stay rolling with the punches. You're following the masses, not knowing the M is silent. Easily controlled when the people stay divided. Time to rob a gun store, start a citywide riot.
We hit the kick flows, bet that rock shows. Been mobbing on the coast, but you already know. Eyes locked low, scheming with the team back in 06. This rap is just a dream. Humanian on wax, super heavy in the scene. They hate to see your butler shine. In the mean, you take the fame. I love the cream. We rebels never joined the regime. They want the smoke, yet I got from the
steam. Side of benefit, them candlestick, sink, was say them Titanic, this cattle band fire, naga wick, them get man bullshit, cover them cats like any click, spin up a bit more, them a dirty trick, physically quick, watch them arise and a slip, come down, was a bite full brick, watch Calico switch, slippity flip, the script, now pause, the jungle humble with nine man draw, been banging, it's your trade at the boom box, 84 before you were graduated. Skunk make ya. This ruggedness off the Richter grand.